everyone. Welcome to the Natasha Crane podcast. So it's been a few weeks since I've been able to record a new episode due to some unexpected circumstances, but I'm really excited to share today's show with you, and I hope it was worth the wait. This is a subject I've given enormous thought to over the last several years, and I know many of you have as well. How should Christian parents make the best educational choices for our kids? In today's episode, I'm going to give you all my thoughts, well, at least a lot of them, on this question. I'm going to talk about homeschool, Christian private school, and public school based on a combination of my personal experiences, the experiences many parents have shared with me, and pretty extensive research. That said, I'll be the first to admit up front, I'm not coming at this as an expert in education. This is more of a heart-to-heart from one parent to others. Some of you are teachers and have direct firsthand experience in your settings that I don't have. Some of you are veteran homeschoolers for decades who will have homeschool insights that I don't have. And some of you are especially passionate about this subject and have dug even deeper than I have. So for everything I say here, there will be someone listening who is thinking of an exception, a problem, or a solution that I'm not covering. I just can't address everything. So I'm going to focus on the big picture, things that I believe to be generally true, but for which there are numerous exceptions. Well, my goal up front in this episode is absolutely not to tell you what educational choice I think your family should make. There are just too many factors that go into a decision in order for me or anyone else to say, hey, this is the only thing you should do. Rather, what I hope to do is help give you a framework for thinking through two things. Number one, what to consider as you do make the best choice for your family. And number two, what to consider as you participate in your child's education, regardless of which choice you make. Too often, Christian parents think the public, private, or homeschool conversation is solely about making that first decision of which one it will be. And that's a huge decision. We'll discuss that at length in this episode. But I hope to encourage you to think beyond that as well. Because whether it's public, private, or homeschool, you need to be involved in your child's education. And that will take different shapes depending on where they're in school. So I'll be speaking to that as well. Also, I recently posted on my author Facebook page that I was going to do this episode, and more than 150 people commented with questions that they wanted me to address. I've done my best to group those into categories and speak to them here. They'll be sprinkled throughout the episode wherever they best belong. So let me start by sharing briefly up front where our own family's educational journey has been. Not because you care about my family per se, but because it will give you context for where I'm coming from with my advice and observations in this episode. Personally, I went to public school from K through 12 and then to a secular private school for my undergraduate degree. I then went to a public school again for my graduate degree. Now I have three kids who are currently 14, 14, and 12. The 14-year-olds are twins. And all of them went to private Christian school for elementary. For reasons I'll get into later in this episode, we decided when our twins were in fifth grade that we wanted to homeschool for middle school with the intention that they would go back to a Christian private school for high school. And that's exactly what we did. I just finished homeschooling them for eighth grade, a total of 3 years of homeschool. They're going on to a Christian high school in the fall. When they were in fifth grade, COVID hit. And because we had already planned to homeschool anyway for the twins, we decided to go ahead and homeschool our youngest for fourth grade, given all the school closures and uncertainties, even though that wasn't our plan for her. So she homeschooled for a year also. And again, for reasons I'll talk more about in this episode, we decided it was best for her to return to her Christian private school after that year. I'm not planning to homeschool her for middle school as I did my twins. She'll stay at her current K through 8 Christian school and then go on to a different Christian school for high school where my twins are headed in the fall. Did you get all that? That was a lot of information, but basically the bottom line is that we've done a combination of Christian private and homeschool for our kids. While I personally attended public school my whole childhood, my kids have not been in public school. My comments in this episode on public school are informed by the fact that I follow current events very closely, read a lot of books on the subject, and really follow what's going on in public schools. I also interact with and hear from parents all over the country whose kids are in public schools, so I hear a lot of firsthand stories about what's going on. But admittedly, in a sense, I'm an outsider to this public school discussion. At the same time, to be honest, I do find from my conversations with a lot of public school parents that I'm more aware of what's going on with respect to the big educational picture in public schools than they are because I do spend so much time keeping up on these issues. So it's from this context that I'll make my public school comments, and I hope that they will be helpful to you. All right, so where to begin? I think most listeners would expect me to jump in and tackle one educational choice at a time with my thoughts and observations. For example, let's talk about homeschool, then let's talk about private, etc. But therein lies the problem, I think, with how most of us approach the question of education. We jump into thinking about the choices without ever considering the principles that should inform the choices. It's like choosing between very different jobs without first considering the decision factors that matter. You know you need a job, so you're going to choose one, but if you choose one based on the factors that actually aren't most important, you may find yourself in a suboptimal or even terrible situation. In the same way, our kids need an education, so you're going to make a choice as to how that's going to happen. But if you're not first thinking about what should drive your decision, or you're letting the wrong factors drive your decision, you can end up making a choice you shouldn't have. So I'm going to spend some significant time up front talking about six overarching principles to keep in mind in the choice-making process. Then I'll talk specifics about homeschool, private, and public. So first principle, root your philosophy of education in a biblical worldview. As Christians, we should have a biblically informed understanding of education and apply that to our educational choices and execution. If you don't listen to anything else in this episode, I hope you'll listen to what I'm going to share on this one most important point. And I'm going to spend more time here than on my other points. Otherwise, we're going to have a 12-hour episode. But there's a lot that needs to be said. I'm going to spend so much time on it, you'll probably forget I'm even talking about principles, but we will not spend this much time on the other ones. I think it's fair to say that very, very few parents ever deeply consider the question of what the purpose of education is. Had someone encouraged me to think about this when my kids were preschool age, I would have made some very different choices. As someone who always loved school and was very academically and career motivated for a long time, I approached the school decision for my own kids as one that was all about giving them the best preparation for college and a career. That's what I thought school was. As such, I put a ridiculous amount of research into preschools. I visited all kinds of preschools in our area to look for the one that I thought would make my kids the smartest. I internally scoffed at the ones that focused on quote-unquote play over academics. School to me was about maximizing my kids' academic learning so they would eventually be the most competitive for getting into a good college and then be able to choose whatever career they wanted from there. My impression of Christian schools, for a variety of reasons, was that they weren't academically competitive, and so I didn't even look at them. And homeschool was just too non-traditional for me to think about at the time. You might say that my philosophy of education was this: I need to put my kids wherever they will have the most opportunities to academically excel in the mainstream educational structures. I wouldn't have thought of it that way at the time because I wasn't even aware of alternative ways of thinking about education, but in retrospect, I think that's a pretty good summary. I could not have been more wrong to see education in this way. Yet I think many, if not most parents, to one degree or another, do see it this way. They see education primarily as a tool to eventually get yourself a job. If this is your mentality about education, it's going to significantly affect not only your choice about public, private, or homeschool, but also all the decisions you make along your kids' educational journey, no matter how they're schooling. Education is a far more beautiful, wonderful thing than college and job preparation. We have to think about this differently and from a biblical worldview perspective. So how do you better root your philosophy of education in a biblical worldview? Well, the Bible doesn't just hand us that answer. I can't point you to a specific verse. And different Christians and thinkers would summarize a biblically informed philosophy of education in different ways. There are whole books written about this. My purpose here isn't to dive deeply into all those views, but rather to just give you enough to get started thinking in a different way about what education is if you haven't really considered this question before, like I hadn't. Having read various summations of educational philosophy, I would submit my variation as follows. The goal of education should be to direct the process of a child's development toward God's purposes for their knowledge and character, all for His glory. A lot of other things could be said. There are other ways to summarize it, but I think that is a good encapsulation. I'm going to read it one more time because it's going to drive a lot of what I talk about today. The goal of education should be to direct the process of a child's development toward God's purposes for their knowledge and character, all for His glory. This idea would have been foreign to me in looking for schools as a younger mom when my kids were just starting out. I would have said, well, that's what parents should do in the home, and well, that's what teachers do in the church. If that's how you think too, may I suggest that secular ideas of education have infiltrated the way Christians think about schooling, and it's important to take a step back and really consider what education can and should be. Just because our public school system has been structured a certain way with certain assumptions and certain methods of execution doesn't mean we should all default to thinking that's what education by definition is. It's natural for us to default to thinking that way because that's what we've always known and it's what most of us experienced. But stick with me here to think about this in a different and uniquely Christian perspective. On average, kids spend at least 1,000 hours in school each year. That's more than 13,000 hours total over K through 12. I want you to really think about those numbers. Education is the process of learning about the world, right? But how an educational provider views ultimate reality necessarily dictates what and how you learn in those 13,000 plus hours. Is the world the product of an orderly mind or is it the product of blind chance? What is the nature of a human being? Is there objective morality that governs how people ought to relate to one another? Is history purposeful or purposeless? These are just a few examples of why we can't see education as a separate world from what we teach at home and what kids learn at church. We're talking about 13,000 plus hours learning about reality from a specific perspective. Given that all truth is God's truth, if we want to direct a child's development toward God's purposes for their knowledge, it follows that education must be rooted in a biblical view of the world. I don't want to jump ahead too much here, but if you're in public school, your kids are getting an education rooted in a very different view of reality, and it's incumbent upon you to follow closely and continually correct and supplement their acquired knowledge. And I'm saying that now because I don't want anyone in public school to give up on this episode at this point and think I'm suggesting every Christian must be in homeschool or Christian private school in order to get a biblical worldview. Plenty of Christian schools don't teach from a biblical worldview, and plenty of homeschoolers don't either. So this kind of education rooted in a biblical worldview takes great intention and doesn't simply come about because of the location where your kids spend their educational hours. But as I said, right now I'm just talking about principles, and this first principle that you should root your philosophy of education in a biblical worldview should inform how you see and execute your kids' educational journey, regardless of where they go, even if that means that your kids are in public school and you have to consistently correct and supplement their understanding. As one final note about my philosophy statement that the goal of education should be to direct the process of a child's development toward God's purposes for their knowledge and character, I just spoke about the knowledge component, but don't miss the character aspect of this. The question of the kind of person we want children in our society to become will not be answered the same by everyone. For example, if you go to any public school, you'll see various character traits on signs or spray painted on the buildings. Traits like kindness and courage and loyalty. And those sound good, but if you're not defining those traits in a God-centered way, you're actually going to develop a very different character in kids. If kindness takes on a meaning of affirming whatever your classmates want to believe about their identity, for example, you're actually developing a character that's at odds with a biblical understanding of love. As Christians, we have to recognize that childhood is when a parent is responsible for raising kids to be the kind of person God wants them to be. If your kids are at school for over 13,000 hours over their childhood, that has major implications for their character development. Who they become will be significantly informed by who the school thinks they should become. Yes, you'll be discipling them in a different way at home, but you have to recognize that competing messages about the kind of person they should be will battle it out for their heart and mind. Okay, so much more could be said here, but I hope that's enough to get you thinking about what your educational philosophy should be and the fact that education is so much more important than preparing kids for a career, as I so errantly thought myself. When you start to think of it as the development of a child toward God's purposes for their knowledge and character, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. Education becomes this beautiful human-shaping process rather than a mere academic instrument toward a materialistic end. Oh, how I wish I had understood this as a mom starting out with preschoolers. It would have given me such a different viewpoint from which to make some very important decisions. Well, that brings me to my second principle. And like I said, the other principles I'm not going to spend as much time on, but that first one just is so important for the foundation. Don't view any educational choice as a guarantee that your children will grow up to know and love the Lord, or a guarantee that they won't. When it comes to discipleship, something I always emphasize in my speaking events with parents is that we shouldn't come at discipleship with what I call a purchase mentality, where if we just do X, Y, and Z, then the currency of our efforts will guarantee a specific outcome, such as our kids' relationship with the Lord. We are called to be investors, not purchasers. We put in all we can for the glory of God, and then we leave the result to Him. So if that's the case with discipleship, the same applies to education. I recently received an email from a young 20-something who shared that she was homeschooled throughout her childhood from a biblical worldview, was part of a thriving community of other families who did the same. And she said that now, just a few years later, only one of the kids she grew up with is holding strong in her faith. And this person who emailed me just felt dismayed, trying to figure out how this could happen. What was going on? At the same time, I hear from parents who raise their kids in public school and have kids who are thriving spiritually with the opportunity to share faith in secular environments. Your educational choice is not determinant of your kid's spiritual outcome. There's just not a one-to-one relationship here. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take it seriously. I think we should absolutely take the decision very, very seriously, as I hope you're going to get from me in this episode. We have to take it seriously in wanting to do what's best for our kids. But it does mean that it's not the only factor in your child's development. So don't put so much weight onto this decision that you think that this is actually determinant of your kid's spiritual outcome. Number three. Remember that school has changed since you were a kid. This is a quick point, but an important one with respect to public school especially. I find that many parents are hesitant to consider non-traditional educational options because they resort to thinking that they went through public and they were fine. And I get it. I know I felt this way in the beginning. Public was what I knew. I didn't learn any crazy stuff, or at least that I realized at the time. Most of the kids at my public school when I was growing up were either nominally Christian or Mormon, so no one was hostile to people of faith. I can't emphasize enough that even if that was your experience, everything has changed today. I'm going to say more about this later, but I wanted to make this point up front. If you're thinking that things were okay when you were in public, you've got to stop using that as a justification for sending your own kids to public. And that's not to say that you necessarily should not send your kids to public school. Again, I am not here to tell any particular family what's best for them. I realize not everyone has the ability to do otherwise, but it is to say that if your kids are in public, it requires you as a Christian parent to be absolutely vigilant and on top of everything your kids are learning and doing. It is a different world now. We can't be naive to that. Evaluate your options and pay close attention to your kids' educational journey. Principle number four, compare actual educational choices, not educational categories. In a sense, talking about public, private, and homeschool choices is very theoretical. Yes, we can talk about these as categories and compare and contrast general structural issues, but the reality is that when you're making a decision, you need to do the research on the specific choices that you have in front of you. For example, as we'll discuss, Christian schools vary greatly in quality and commitment to integration of a biblical worldview. Someone asked on my Facebook thread if Christian school is really worth it over public. Well, I don't know. I can't answer that because it depends on which specific Christian school you're considering. I can't answer it about Christian schools in general because the school you'd be going to isn't a general Christian school. It's a specific one. If your local Christian school is steeped in progressivism, it may be no different than your local public school, and ironically might be even worse. So within your driving radius, there will only be a certain number of possibilities in your consideration set, maybe just one, if that. So don't think of this as, should I do Christian school or public? You need to know all about that specific Christian school to do a comparison. And the same thing goes for public schools, by the way. The challenges you'll face from a biblical perspective in a public school will vary, sometimes extensively, depending on your district and state. You need to get deeply acquainted with the school that your child would attend, not just the idea of public school more broadly. That said, I do think there are some sweeping big picture factors to consider with public school, and I will talk about those in a bit. But the same even goes for homeschool. Homeschool can sound great as a concept, but in practice, it can turn out to be little different educationally than other school choices. If, for example, you don't have the time to invest in it and you're simply setting your child up with an online program to do school independently all day, it might not be the best choice for them, depending on what your alternatives are. So as you consider choices, compare the actual choices you have, not just broad categories of choices. Principle number 5, recognize that everything is a trade-off. Oh, this is so important to understand, and it is something I really had to grapple with personally. No matter how great your educational choice is for your particular circumstance, there will be things that are better about other choices and things that are worse. You can't evaluate your decision based on the fact that your kids are missing out on something somewhere else. Let me give you an example. My twins' birthday is a couple of months into the school year. In our first year of homeschool, when we got to their birthday, there was a lot of sadness from both of them. In all their previous school years, birthdays meant lots of friends around to recognize it's your special day. The school would call kids up to the front in the morning to highlight them. You would get called out in classes, etc. So after years of that experience, it felt suddenly very lonely and anticlimactic to spend a birthday with just me and their sibling at home. And my twins are serious introverts and still felt this way. And honestly, it really pained me. As small as it sounds like an issue now to recount, I felt really insecure about whether I had done the right thing in bringing them home for middle school. In retrospect, I hadn't fully processed that homeschool wasn't necessarily the best thing in every single aspect. I thought I was making the best choice and therefore every aspect of it would be best. But that was naive because there are trade-offs to everything in life. Because I homeschooled, my kids didn't have as many friends as they would have had at their Christian school for 3 years. Because I homeschooled, they didn't have a traditional 8th grade graduation ceremony. Because I homeschooled, they didn't have immediate access to a sophisticated lab for science classes. Now, there are certainly substitutes for those things in the homeschool community. For example, you can take science classes with other homeschoolers in locations where they have fancy labs and all that. But my point here is just that there will always be things your kids aren't getting because of what you chose for them that they would have gotten elsewhere. That fact alone should not discourage you. The real question is, where are the downsides, what you're giving up, minimized relative to your priorities? And of course, your priorities need to be defined by the educational philosophy that I talked about earlier. And finally, principle number 6, you can always change course. One of the commenters on my education post said the following: "We're really on the fence with what to do with our preschooler. I feel an immense weight and responsibility to pick correctly. I know we can always change what we do, and you have, so insight into the emotional and mental challenges of that change for the students and parents would be helpful." End quote. I'm actually happy to hear when someone feels the enormous weight and responsibility of picking the right educational choice for their child. That is a good thing, given that it's going to determine where they spend 13,000 plus hours. But it's okay to change your decision. One of the hardest parts for me of deciding to homeschool in 6th grade was that we had already gone down a different path. I hated the thought of mixing and matching. It's just, it doesn't go with my type A linear thinking kind of personality. I just wanted it all to be consistent. But I couldn't be more grateful to have made the decision we did. And after a year of homeschooling my youngest, I could see that wasn't the best path for her given to how we related personally in homeschool. And we sent her back to private school. In this particular case, we believed that that was the right decision. You're not traumatizing your kids by switching course. There's certainly an adjustment, and we went through a lot of adjustments. I want to be fair to that. But the upside far outweighs the downside when the choice is made for the right reasons. Okay, with those broad principles in mind, let's now talk about the specific categories of options: homeschool, private, and public. And I'm going to address them in that order. Now, remember, I already said that you have to evaluate specific options and not categories. My thoughts here are, of course, necessarily at the category level. So you'll have to apply them to your specific options. So we'll start off with homeschool. Oh, homeschool, how I have loved you. The last 3 years have been a treasure to my heart that I will forever be grateful for. I want to start by reminding you of the philosophy of education I shared earlier. The goal of education should be to direct the process of a child's development toward God's purposes for their knowledge and character, all for His glory. To be very blunt, in my opinion, there is simply no other educational choice where this philosophy can be executed so thoroughly and beautifully as in homeschool, where the parent, the primary spiritual discipler as it is, has the opportunity to specifically direct their child's education to that end. Homeschool allows you to have a seamless integration of education in everyday life. Life is education. Getting to educate your own kids is an incredible blessing and privilege. When we first switched over to homeschool from Christian school, I often pondered the question of whether I would have homeschooled for K through 5 if I could go back and do it over again. In that first year, my answer would have been probably not. I looked back with joy on all the things that my kids got to do in a traditional school environment that they would have missed out on in homeschool. I thought of Christmas and Easter plays, bike-a-thons, class parties, field trips, back-to-school days. And honestly, I grieved the loss of some of those things as we homeschooled. This is where, as I mentioned earlier, a healthier view of trade-offs would have been helpful to me at the time. What I hadn't considered was what my kids missed out on by being at private school. It eventually occurred to me that I and they had missed out on thousands of hours we could have been together, exploring the world and God's truths as a family. I have a distinct memory of a veteran homeschooler telling me when I first started homeschooling that it takes 3 years to really know what you're doing. To be honest, I kind of internally rolled my eyes at that because I'm so organized and so research-oriented that I was convinced I had already figured out the best plan for us. I was thinking maybe that's true for them, but not for me. I have put everything into this and I know what I'm doing. However, now that I've homeschooled for 3 years, I can say that is so true. I have such a fuller view of homeschooling now of what it can and should be that there is no doubt in my mind if I had to do it all over again, I would have homeschooled from the beginning, from kindergarten. And yes, there are some great things they would miss out on from a traditional school environment, but the upside potential is so great that it outweighs that completely. For that reason, I recommend to anyone listening who has preschool age kids to start with homeschool if you possibly can. If that is within the realm of possibility for your family, I recommend to anyone to give it a try. The potential for amazingness in your child's education is beyond anything else because the sky is the limit in what you can do. And you can choose it while remembering principle 6, that you can always change your mind and do something else later if it turns out not to be best for your family. If I had started in kindergarten with homeschool, there is very well a possibility that maybe we would have still changed course later, but I wish I would have at least had the opportunity to educate my own kids in those early years. Likewise, if you've already been down another educational path for several years and you're considering the transition to homeschool, I'd strongly encourage you to give it a try. I think there are some special challenges that those of us who transition into homeschool midstream deal with that others don't. For example, your kids will always have the comparison in mind to their former school environment, but it's well worth the risk of doing something new given the beauty of what you can experience. Now that said, I want to address why homeschool isn't always the best choice. One of my commenters actually asked about this. She said, quote, "As a former school teacher and now a homeschool mom, I struggle with understanding why anyone would choose something other than homeschool. Hopefully that doesn't come across as judgmental. I'm truly struggling with understanding it, but don't want to sound hateful. In my opinion, the parent is the best teacher and homeschool is always the best option. We all know there are extreme light cases of abuse where this isn't best. Hopefully you can give me some insight," end quote. Well, this parent has clearly seen the beauty of homeschool. It's working wonderfully in her family, and she's like, how on earth could something be better for anyone? Well, to answer that, I want to point back to something I said a little bit ago. The potential, keyword, potential for amazingness in your child's education with homeschool is beyond anything else because the sky is the limit in what you can do. Note that I said potential. Homeschool does not always result in amazingness for every family. Think of it this way. If someone gave you a 10,000 square foot house to design, there is huge creative potential relative to if someone gave you a 500 square foot house that's already designed for you. But if all you do with a 10,000 square foot house is put a chair in the middle of one room, the house's 10,000 foot potential had no benefit for you. Furthermore, if there were so many challenges involved in decorating the house that you could make no progress, you may have a more beautiful design in the ready-made 500 square foot house than what could be accomplished in the 10,000 square foot house that you did nothing with. Homeschool is like that 10,000 square foot house. If you're willing and able to design to its full potential and you don't encounter major devastating challenges, you have way more to work with in your child's education. That's why I say start with homeschool or switch to homeschool if that's a possibility for you. See how you can flourish with the 10,000 foot house. But I say that while acknowledging there are circumstances that sometimes make it such that options with smaller total potential may still be a better choice for your family because of what you'll actually do with it. What would those circumstances be? Well, let me give you a few examples from my own experience as well as from what I have observed in many online homeschooling groups that I've been part of over the last few years. First example, when the homeschool dynamic leads to a damaged relationship between the parent and child. I've actually seen this a lot in homeschooling groups. Parents feel like they have to homeschool no matter what sometimes, but they see that their relationship with their child is getting worse and worse due to having to be both the teacher and the parent. It seems to me this is most often the case if the child hates school, so their view of education gets entangled with their view of you as the parent, and it becomes problematic. I've seen many parents say that when their child went back to a traditional environment, things got way better for them. That's not to say that there are no solutions for this kind of situation that will lead to staying in homeschool, but this is a significant concern that can arise. Another example is if there is no parent available to dedicate sufficient time to the homeschooling process. Remember the 10,000 square foot house example. That's a lot of potential, but if you're only able to devote a tiny amount of time and effort to it and there's a great Christian school available to you, it might be a better choice. Another example, I've seen posts in homeschool groups from moms whose families are barely scraping by financially while homeschooling because they aren't working, and it's putting enormous negative pressure on all the family relationships. I've even seen it drive couples to the brink of divorce. In that kind of case, it would surely be better to preserve a family and save a marriage by taking a needed job than to continue to homeschool. Homeschool, as wonderful as it is, and as much as I am promoting it in the course of what I'm saying here, it shouldn't become an idol to anyone so that you can't see past it, that you absolutely have to homeschool and that you'll go to any length to homeschool. Different families have different needs. And finally, one more example is if your area is truly lacking in social opportunities. Many of you who are homeschoolers are probably wondering why, if I have loved homeschool so much, I'm sending my kids now to a Christian high school. Well, a major reason is that we have no homeschool community. Before we started homeschool, every homeschooler everywhere seemed to assure me and other would-be homeschoolers that socialization is not a problem. They said there are so many opportunities everywhere, from co-ops to classes and extracurriculars and so on. Well, despite our attempts to create connections with other local homeschoolers, we simply were never able to find a thriving homeschool community that we fit into. Thankfully, my twins each had a couple of good friends from their prior school whom they saw regularly, and that was a true blessing because if not for that, they would have been very isolated. It worked for 3 years, but there is no way socially I could see this being sufficient throughout high school. I think to some degree, this is a function of the fact that we transitioned to homeschool in middle school. It seems to me that a lot of people meet their homeschool community when their kids are very young and they have park play dates and lots of little kid activities and hikes and little field trips to go on that you don't see so much with the older kids. It's a lot harder in my experience to find a community when you transition to homeschool and want to connect with other middle schoolers, the older kids. And I don't think I'm alone in having experienced some difficulties with the social end during homeschool, even though it's almost taboo to say within the homeschool community. I've seen post after post in online homeschool groups from parents who are struggling with the same thing. In fact, several of the homeschoolers I personally know have expressed challenges in finding good friends for their kids, even the homeschoolers who started in kindergarten. In my experience and observation, this is a more persistent problem in the homeschooling community than many homeschoolers acknowledge or maybe are even aware of. After all, if you have a great community where you are, you might not realize how many people don't live in areas where they find that. It takes a lot of effort to find social opportunities, and sometimes you don't find them even after trying. Now, I don't want to belabor this example, but because socialization is such a big topic within homeschooling, I want to mention one other thing that's really important. All socialization is not good socialization. This is the error in thinking that a lot of people make. They say that they wouldn't homeschool because their kids need more friends. They need more quote-unquote socialization. Well, keep in mind that socialization is not inherently a good or bad thing. It depends on what those social influences are. What are you being socialized into? Who are you being socialized to be? If my only alternative to homeschool was a local public school where I knew there was a tough crowd of kids to socialize my kids into all kinds of bad things, I would gladly trade that for loneliness at home. So I'm not suggesting that you should pick the education that provides the biggest social circle in any way, shape, or form. But friendships are important, and kids need opportunities to be with peers. Depending on where you live, that can end up being very easy or very hard. If we had found a thriving community to be part of, to plug into, there's a good chance we would have at least considered homeschooling until the end, even though that wasn't necessarily our intent going into it. But that said, I am really excited about the Christian school that they're going to for high school, and I'll talk more about that under the subject of private schools. So for us, the decision was a combination of the social concerns plus the availability of a really awesome Christian school alternative that we're actively excited to send them to. Well, that was a lot on why you might not homeschool, but I feel like it needs to be said because so many homeschooling parents are flippant about the subject, suggesting that the answer should be perfectly apparent to everyone as to the homeschool choice. I'll end this section on homeschooling by answering a few questions that people had about it on my Facebook thread that I didn't otherwise cover here. One person asked, well, what if you have an only child? Someone on the thread actually replied to them, there are so, all in caps, many options for homeschool kids to get involved with other kids. This is a non-issue, end quote. Well, as you might imagine from what I just discussed, I disagree this is a non-issue. I certainly don't think you should not consider homeschool if you only have one child, but homeschool would have the potential to be very lonely for that child if you don't have a lot of opportunities to consistently do things with other kids. So my suggestion would be to investigate what that would look like in your particular area, what kinds of things you could get into before making a decision. And it also depends on the personality of your child. A very extroverted only child may experience a one-child homeschool very differently than an introverted child. A second question asked was, can you do it with two working parents? I feel like I can't really answer this because I was so hands-on with my kids' homeschool. I mean, I taught every subject. It was like a full-time job. But I know there are families who do this, so it's not out of the question. I think you would just have to honestly evaluate what homeschool would look like for your child, given your particular situation with working, to see how that compares to your best alternative. So if you have an incredible Christian private school nearby and you're not able to do much with homeschooling, that might point toward the private school. But if you don't have great other options, it could still be worth homeschooling even if you're not able to fully design that 10,000-foot house. I'd recommend joining one of the many homeschooling groups on Facebook and ask for the advice of parents doing it in similar circumstances. A third question someone asked was this, quote, I have several Christian friends who send their kids to public schools even though they know they're not a great choice because they don't feel like they have the ability or temperament to homeschool. What are some ways that the church or even homeschooling families might support hesitant Christian parents to make the leap to homeschooling? End quote. This is a really great question. This would be a whole other episode I could talk about. But I think the best way churches should facilitate homeschool is by developing social communities, networks of Christian parents, pulling them together from all the surrounding churches if there's not already a group like that. So for example, there's a large well-known church about 45 to 60 minutes from us that has a homeschool group drawing from all kinds of churches. It was too far for us, but that would have made all the difference in the world to our social experience. In communities like that, the kids can form long-lasting relationships. The parents form relationships. They support one another. They have seminars. They do personal mentorships. In fact, the reason I even know about this group is that they had me come to speak to their parents about apologetics and how to work that into your family life and your homeschooling life. So I would love to see more churches urge parents to try homeschooling and provide the community and training needed to do that. Finally, the question I get emails about all the time, every week, is what curriculum should you use or what curriculum did you use? This is a how-to question that really is just kind of out of scope for this episode, this conversation. But because so many people are curious about what I use and I get asked this so often, I feel like I should at least give the subject a quick mention. I'll just say that I didn't go with any one curriculum. I handpicked what I thought was the best for my particular kids and my particular objectives for each particular subject. And I would recommend that to others as well if you're going to be very involved with your homeschooling process. And I get why people ask the question when they're considering homeschool. You want to get an idea of what on earth you'd actually be teaching because it feels like such a foreign thing. I remember those days, I understand. But if you're wondering about the curriculum thing, please know homeschool is not make it or break it depending on your curriculum. There's a ton available, a ton of flexibility. It just takes some research to figure out what you think will work for you and you can change it at any time. That's the beauty and flexibility of homeschool. So don't decide for or against homeschool based on what curriculum you would use. The curriculum is just the how-to. It's not the choice of the educational methodology in the first place. There are tons of articles online and podcasts that will help you. Just Google how to pick a homeschool curriculum. You will find all kinds of advice. Well, given the length of this episode, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap this one up, and we're going to split this into two parts to make it a little bit easier to process. So in the next episode, we're going to talk about Christian private school. Like I said, I've had years of experience there with my kids, and then I will talk about my thoughts on public school. So I hope you'll tune in for that. I hope this one has been helpful to you. Like I said, I know that a lot of you will have different experiences. You're thinking of different questions, different exceptions, and I wish I could cover everything, but of course I can't. I hope that what I've covered here is helpful. If you're enjoying my podcast, could you just take a minute to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening? I'd really appreciate it. It always helps more people to find out about the show. And I just want to remind you also that our Unshaken Conference with me and Elisa Childers and Frank Turek is going to be coming to Tucson, Arizona in the fall. We'll be there on September 23rd. We can't wait. We've had two already, and it's just been fantastic experience, and we're just really excited for the next one. So if you're in the Tucson, Arizona area, please go ahead, go to unshakenconference.com to get your tickets, and we would love to see you there. That's all for now. I will talk with you soon, and I'll be sure to address the Christian private schools and public schools question shortly. Thanks so much for listening.